gonna do it.
I was just seeing
anybody would cracking the spine.
See if anybody would take initiative this week.
I was going to, but then
Zane jumped on the hand grenade, man.
Yeah,
I did it.
We usually assign the roles before we start rolling on to who's going to open the show, but
I honestly was surprised that you pressed record.
Yeah,
but here we are, episode 28.
That means we're almost 30.
If every day in February we had done a podcast,
this
would be the last one.
You were so good at these math things.
Yes, so good.
God, you're so fast.
So
at it.
Good.
What else am I good at, guys?
You're like a calculator.
Mostly math.
Wow. This is the first time in my life I've ever been told I was good at math.
Really?
So this is the best episode we've ever done.
So far.
Yeah. So.
At least this February.
Let's go with Zane. What are you reading?
I finished Horror Store.
Okay.
And
you
I
bought
liked
it, right?
Which is sort of. We had this discussion last
just
week.
Just before you showed up, she was like, oh no, I left my money in the car.
That's right.
Yeah, but then Sean was like, I know you're good for it.
I did say that.
Well, you bought me a book one time, Zane.
I did?
Yep, sure did. I'm not going to tell you which one it was, because you don't remember.
I don't remember.
Neither do you.
And it was expensive. No, I do. I remember.
What was it?
Read me.
Oh, I did front you the money for that. You paid me back for that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, no,
sweet. I'm awesome.
Yeah, well done. So did you pick anything else up after Horror Store?
I did not.
Did you like Horror Store?
I did. I liked it a lot. I mean, I agreed with your analysis. It's not a particularly challenging book. Mm-hmm. It was not like enlightening. Oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever read. But it was very good. I read it in like a day and a half because I just wanted to keep.
Because you're the Micro Machine Man of reading books.
Sure.
That's a reference everybody's gonna get,
including me.
Well, you know the Micro Machine Man.
Do you know his name?
No.
It's John Macita Jr.
That's impressive. You're like the math. You're like good at math and the math of that name.
I just basically bought the M like volume of the encyclopedia, and I know everything about M.
Like
Micro Machine.
That episode of Friends.
Yeah, exactly. It was V though, wasn't it?
It was V.
I don't know that
Volcano.
Episode.
You don't watch Friends?
I did a little bit.
Penn Jillette was the encyclopedia salesman, and he goes to Joey.
He'll
and,
do anything.
And he really will, dude. He goes to Joey and Chandler's apartment and Joey's home, and like he gives him like the whole encyclopedia sales pitch, and then at the end he's like, "I don't have any money."
So he just sells some V.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
And that's what happened like that. On that show, Friends.
Thanks for listening to Friends Cast.
Slowly.
I bet there's a Friends Cast.
I bet there's more than one.
There's probably a lot of them.
So anyway, I finished Horror Store, and I never went back to Hunters in the Dark, and that's probably unfair on my part.
No.
Which one was that one?
That was the one about the Englishman like backpacking
through.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
Asia.
Right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So you gave up on the Englishman backpacking.
I don't know that I gave up on it, although maybe. I think probably now at this point.
Yeah, and don't feel...
But
I
not
mean,
because it was like bad and I never wanted to go back, but because I've been busy
Englishman.
And tired and I just never wanted to... That book seemed like work, so
yeah.
I just never
That's
wanted to...
That's never good.
Yeah. But maybe I'll give it another try. Sean, what are you reading?
I am still in the midst of Aurora by Kim Stanley Robinson.
Yeah.
I was telling you about last week. It's like the arc story of trying
yeah.
to settle Interstellar. And in keeping with the theme of this week's show, which we'll get into in a little bit, my God, this book gets more depressing with every page I turn.
Oh, oh boy. Man. I can't.
It is
That's
so
great.
Heavy, man. Like,
well,
I think, dude, I think
dying.
You would love it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's like they, I mean, I don't want to give a whole lot of it away, but it's yeah. like they get to the new planet, but can't live there. And then, like, so they get back on the ship, but the ship was only designed to take them to the new planet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like all these things, like, you know, because especially recently in the news, like they
Somebody
discovered
didn't do
that
their homework.
They discovered that like second Earth, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
like 128 million yeah. light years away. And everybody's like, well, there we go. If we ever need to go, we'll
yeah,
fight because it's
luck.
Got water. And it's like,
good
yeah, but
there.
Not just, not even just
also,
getting
you don't
there.
Know like what,
like what happens when you get there.
Right.
Like just because it has water and is like proximal to this, to a sun.
There could be like a virus that just you step on the ground and it's like, you're dead.
Dude, it's so bleak. I keep reading it and I keep like, I've only got about 150 pages left.
Yeah.
But like,
it'll turn around.
I'm like, God, please let something good happen to these people. They're such nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and I've got so much invested in it now. I can't put
you
it down. Dude, you would
it.
Love it because it's like, the story is being
Josh's
told.
This book is super depressing. You'd love
well, no,
it.
The story is being told by the ship's computer.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
It's a quantum computer, mm-hmm. and it's like so. A lot of the narrative is like the computer trying to come to grips with how do you tell a story, and like
cool.
all that the fallibilities of human cool. language and like philosophy. It's really
super like deep. But
you would love it.
Yeah, that sounds you'd like... have to actually read it.
So well, I read a book. I started reading a book. I started reading A Head Full of Ghosts. I kind of like I got in a little bit.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was reading it on the train today.
It's good, right?
Because we were talking about what we're going to talk about today, and I was like, all right.
So you got into it.
I'm a little bit into it. I just started it, so but I'm like, okay.
Josh is reading a book.
Yay, Josh.
Here, I'll make some Sean Claxons.
There it is.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's about right.
That's pretty appropriate.
So Josh is reading a book. Wow, I'm like kind of stunned.
I'm back!
I left him for last because I wasn't sure what the answer was.
That's why I was like, I'm going to go to Zane.
I surprised you.
You keep us guessing, buddy.
That's how I like to live my life. Next thing you know, I'm doing stuff.
You are a man of intrigue.
But you had to get out of the house in order to do it is what it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much. Because because all day, like, I don't do nothing, but I sit around and I work on the computer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on the computer, come on. Like, a lot of times it's hard for me to be like, okay, sit and do not the computer.
Right.
It's a total, yeah. I'm a stereotypical work-at-home idiot who just wastes away on the computer.
Yeah, it's like, next thing you know, you look up and 5 hours have passed. Yeah. That's a lot of porn.
Well.
But there's a lot out there.
It never ends. I don't know if you know that.
We'll find out.
One day.
We'll find
One
out.
Day.
When the quantum computer narrates this story.
All right, cool. So, so like we've been teasing, we're going to talk some bleak and depressing stuff. But before we get to it, no, we've got a special birthday shout out to do.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, man.
We had a request saying who it was from. A Mrs. Or a girlfriend?
It was from a Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, who asked us to give a birthday shout out to her husband, Derek, who follows us on Twitter. He's at Lake Hardex. And he's actually, he tweets at us a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
And he always
gives
us our feedback.
And he's been listening for a while, too. He's been a pretty loyal guy.
So apparently his birthday is coming up.
Uh-huh.
In a couple of days, and Alicia asked us to give him a shout-out, so...
What day is today? It's Derek's birthday. What a day for a birthday! Let's all have some cake. So there you go, Derek.
Yay,
thanks for listening.
Happy birthday.
Although his birthday would have passed by the time this episode goes up, because I think she said it was the 9th.
Yes, that's true. We are recording on the 6th.
Don't break the fourth wall, dude!
I mean,
isn't a podcast entirely breaking? So if you want to get your birthday wishes out there, kids, let us know.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say anything if you ask us to.
Pretty much.
Anything?
Just about.
Well, let's find out.
But tonight we're going to talk bleak. We're going to talk depressing.
We're
going to get down in it. And we'll do it right after this break.
And I've seen signs in the heavens. Watched the stars come down like
hey, if you're listening to us on the iTunes or Android Marketplace, thanks for doing that. Be sure to rate us and write a review. If you want to find us on, you know, the internet, we're out there. You can find us on Podomatic, crackingthespineshow.podomatic.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search Cracking the Spine, we'll come up. Find us on Twitter, at Cracking Spine. And if you want to shoot us an email, get a birthday shout out or any kind of shout out, the email address for the show is crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
Can't keep it together.
Welcome back to Cracking the Spine, episode 28. I remain Sean.
I'm still Zane.
And I'm Josh, but a different Josh.
What the?
What?
You can be whatever you want.
You are a different Josh because you're a Josh that reads. What have you done with our Josh?
I've sent him away to Bookland.
There's that imagination.
I've been reading books. I've got so many things.
This was today's suggestion was actually tossed out a while ago, as a matter of fact, by Peter. Hey, Pete.
Hi.
Who works with me at the shop, and his thought was, like, bleak and depressing books, and why do we read them? Which I think is, like, the crux of it. Like, not just, like, what makes a book depressing, because I think that, you know.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, why do we,
why do you choose to do it? So, like, I'm reading that Kim Stanley Robinson book right now.
Swiss Family Robinson book.
The Swiss Family Robinson.
In space.
And, like, I mean, the why when I picked it up was because, honestly, it had a really cool cover. Like everything we were talking about
like
last
episode.
It's like a black cover with some stars on it, and the ship is set like really small down in the left hand corner, and it just has the author's name in the book and the name Aurora. And I was like, okay. And I like opened up the flyleaf, and the flyleaf doesn't tell you anything about the story. Yeah. It just tells you about the author. So I was like, cool. Like,
yeah, that's kind of intriguing.
But then as I moved into it, I'm like, oh my god,
you didn't know. Right?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
And usually, like, so like now I'm in this position of like I've got so much invested in it, so that's why I'm reading it.
Right.
But you've read like other like depressing books before. I mean, you've read lots of books.
Yeah.
I don't typically go in for that. Movies I do, which is, you know,
really, whatever. Even in your like nonfiction dabblings?
Oh, well, yeah, but that to me doesn't count because if it's true, like reality's just depressing anyway.
That's weird that you said that because when my husband asked me what we were doing this week, and I was like, we're doing bleak and depressing.
The show, Dan.
And he was like, oh, well, I have lots of those books. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
He was like, well, you're always harping on me about my books about genocide. And I was like, yeah, for some reason that doesn't count.
It doesn't.
Like, yes, it is. And it's super depressing. And that's why I don't want to read them. But like, that's not what I was thinking of when we were talking about bleak and depressing. I was thinking of novels.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I'm curious as to how you, like, why is nonfiction
because
somehow, go ahead.
It's more about the mentality or the psyche of the character or the narrator of the book or the scenery in the book that the author is presenting. There's a difference between the dark place in your mind that is creative and a dark place in your mind that's, here's this terrible thing I know about. Like, I don't know, reality, like in nonfiction or what, like with a genocide or something, like, yeah, it's pretty horrible.
But you can go in with the understanding, like, this is horrible, horrible things happen in the real world.
Yeah, unless you're, like, a sociopath, you're not gonna read the cover and be like, oh, good, genocide!
Yeah, what about, like, let's say, I mean, I don't know, you know, not necessarily that you've read anything like this, but, like, we have a lot of books on, like, fracking, and, like,
okay, yeah,
like, the problems associated with fracking, or, like, the environmental future of the world. Like, that shit is so depressing.
Yeah.
There's depressing,
like, to the point where I avoid it. Like, I can't read any more of that stuff, because it's like, I sort of like, because all those books end with like, and if we don't act now,
we're
screwed with like a copyright date of 2011. And it's like, well,
but
we're 4 years on.
But the question still remains, like, you may not read those books, but there are people out there who do. What is it that draws us as readers to a book that we know full well is not going to be happy? Or like, it's going to depress us, it's going to be super bleak. What is it that makes us want to read that? And I was thinking about how I kind of relate it to kind of the same way I feel about horror in a way. It's not exactly the same, but because you can admit that sometimes being scared is fun.
Right.
Right.
But especially like if you get really into reading horror, even watching horror movies, like at some point, like, yeah, it's fun to be like, ooh, oh, I got scared, you know, but like, like did like
sounds
something
like
jumped
it.
Out at you. But like at some point you want something that like really scares you and like rocks
you.
Yeah,
something
to
that
your
like
core.
Exactly.
And it's kind of that same, like you're just in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
To be affected in that way. And I think sometimes when we read depressing books, it's kind of that same thing. Like I want to be affected by the book or by the movie.
Like staring into
way.
The abyss kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's about the visceral reaction. Like maybe it's about it got to me in some way.
Yeah. Maybe we're all, I mean, I don't know. A lot of times like that's what's great about, like, any media, right? Is, like, you can just pick, like, all right, I kind of want to feel this emotion. And, like, when you know that something can or does make you feel that way, it's sort of just, like, uploading that into your brain, right? Yeah. Like, you can just plug that in and say, oh, I feel this way now.
But is it, like, is it to give you that, like, the experience of what it feels like to have that emotion?
Maybe.
So that, like, you're, so is it, like a numbing factor? So that when you do actually deal with, like, in your own real, like, not reading something that really happens, but when you have to deal with a depressing, like, you know, someone dies or a pet dies or someone gets really sick, that you've already sort of...
like, build an immunity
exactly,
to it.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's the other way around. I think it's like, am I capable of feeling this?
Yeah, there's that. And I think that also maybe for some people who feel that way, like people who get, like, depressed and stuff, it becomes like a... not an immunity thing, it becomes a, I can relate to this
yeah.
thing.
Right.
It's hard to
a
relate.
Touchstone.
Yeah, it's hard to relate to, like, a book where it's, like, sometimes where it's, like, oh, the hero's great, everything's great, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, sometimes you just want that, maybe it's, like, kind of, like, pornography of sadness or something.
Doesn't it also
know.
Become, like, a self, like, for someone who is, like, you were saying, right. like, depressed or down, almost like a self-repeating loop, like...
Yeah.
I read sad books because I'm sad because I read sad books because I'm like...
No.
I don't think so.
Because I was thinking about it. Like, there are times where I'm, like, super bummed out or I'm having a bad point in my life. And I know that a book is...
No.
No, that never happens. And and I know that a book is depressing and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't...
Yeah.
I don't want to get into
Absolutely.
That right now.
Okay.
But there are other times where, like, I am bummed out and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I want to dig down into the
right.
abyss. I want to read something that is as miserable as I am.
It's like taking
and
a bath.
And it makes me feel better. Like, it's like
yeah.
cleansing
yeah.
in a way.
Oh, wow. All right, there you go.
Yeah,
like
I know what she's talking about.
I thought you meant, because honestly, because when you say taking a bath, my impression is like, oh, just sitting and soaking in your own filth.
Well, that's
because that's
kind
how
of
I
it.
Feel about baths. Like,
but that's kind of it, though, too,
oh, yeah, Sean
right?
Sean doesn't like baths.
I don't either. But, like, I mean, I like the feeling of the bath. I like to be surrounded by the warm water. I wear a bathing suit, but I don't.
And a sweatshirt.
Go on.
And earmuffs. I get ear infections. And but you know, but at the same time, you're kind of like looking at yourself in a mirror, right?
Yeah.
You're sort of like, oh, okay, this is how I feel right now. And
okay.
It doesn't justify it, but it. Makes it it's like a salve, maybe. It makes
yeah.
it a little
yeah.
easier to deal with, just to know that, like, other people feel that way. I mean, what's more human than that, right? Like, not everyone, like, I think, I don't know, for me anyway, just speaking for me personally, I get really tired of the, oh, how are you? And then I gotta say, good, you know? Sometimes I just wanna be like, hey, I'm having a really shitty day today, and I don't feel good,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Note to self, don't ask Josh how he is.
Good.
Ever.
I did that at the beginning of the night.
I know.
God, I got so mad at you.
That's why we started late.
Yeah.
But, no, it's funny, because I actually, I mean, not that I don't want to sound like that guy, but, like, I sort of, I try to see myself as an optimistic kind of person.
Yeah.
And what I look for, like I'm saying with this, the Kim Stanley Robinson that I'm reading right now, like, I am holding out hope that, like, something good is going to happen to these people, because otherwise, I feel like if this book stays bleak all the way through, if any book stays bleak all the way through, I don't know that I am going to get a whole lot out of reading it.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like, there has to be a moment of triumph.
I don't know.
Doesn't there?
Well,
the real world doesn't have that.
The real world has moments of triumph all
sure,
the time.
But not all the time.
All the time.
But also
right
not
now,
all the time.
Right now, someone is saving someone's life in surgery. Someone is pulling a
yes.
child out of
a
burning
well.
Car.
Damn it.
Close.
A burning well.
A burning oil well. Thanks, Obama.
But I think both of those things are true at the same time, though, also. You know what I mean? Like, all those great things and triumphant things are happening all the time. But also, people feel... terrible about living, because being a human being is tough.
Absolutely. No, and I'm not I'm sorry, I did not mean to
no.
discount or dispute that.
I know.
Zane.
Oh, so, I was gonna say, I think when it, at the very least, when it comes to quality writing,
mm-hmm.
I think I agree with Sean that there has to be at least
ha,
a
gotcha, bitch.
at least a small glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Even if it's never achieved, for the sake of storytelling, it has to be there. And I, again, sort of relating it to horror, which is the only other genre that I could think of where it's sort of based on, like, one central feeling. Like, mm-hmm. does this evoke fear, or does this evoke depression? But, like, with horror, like, if you have something where it's just, like, jump scare after jump scare, yeah. after it's ineffective, that's ineffective storytelling. And I think it's the same way for bleak or depressing books, that like if it's just bleak or depressing the whole way through, that's bad storytelling. Like at some point, something, there has to be a glimmer of hope.
I'm thinking now of the Girl with All the Gifts, the M.R. Carey
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't want to give that like what exactly is going on, but right. it's like a post-apocalyptic world.
Yes.
And all through the story, there's like this like, you know, basically this MacGuffin of once they get to this one place, everything mm-hmm. will be made well. Mm-hmm. And then they get there and, you know, not to spoil the end of the book, but nothing is made better.
Right.
And it's like that, but like, but the ride was enjoyable because of the hope.
Because there was
like
hope.
You said, that right. like, even if they don't actually achieve it or right. get there or pay it off at the end.
Well, and I also think that like, again, trying not to give anything away about the ending itself, but it, in the end, like, there is a lot of hope, just not for the people that we
right, just
thought
not the people
would
that you,
receive
you fell
that
in love with.
That's
yeah.
hope. Like, and that's what I think made the ending. I was sort of like, oh, okay. Mm. Like, it was like, oh, this is not okay. And then I was like, but it is kind of, it did
like
resolve
they didn't save
itself.
The world, but they saved
but
a world.
Everything mm. was resolved.
Yeah.
And so that was satisfying. And so again, like, that's, to me, that's good writing. That's very good writing. It's
right.
effective storytelling.
Yeah, it can't be like, I never read the book. Our friend Dom and I used to go back and forth about this, but The Road, like,
yeah.
you know, it's
I
funny, yeah.
cannot stand that movie. The movie. I never read the book. I can't speak if they're similar, but the movie is just like, holy crap.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah. this is like, I can't handle this, you know?
It's funny you should say that because we were trying to pick out a book to do for tonight's dramatic reading, mm-hmm. and we had, Zane and I had this conversation of like, do we want to find something that is actually bleak and horrible, like, and the book that we almost went with was a Cormac McCarthy, it was
yeah.
Blood Meridian, which is a story of, like, the 1850s on the Texas-Mexico border when
right.
the, like, there's a booming trade in Indian scalps.
Yeah.
And I started reading some of it, and I was like, yeah, this is bleak and depressing, but, like, no one wants to listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what we've turned the dramatic reading into, anyway.
Which is always a very good book and never a bad book.
That's
never.
Right. No. No, and we always
have to have dinosaurs.
And we always
new American classics.
And we treat them with respect and
yes.
dignity
yes.
that they deserve.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right, Ernest
Cline? We are the best people.
The other thing I was wondering is, do the concepts of bleak and depressing, are they universal? Because the reason I ask, and I actually think I can answer the question. The reason I ask is because, so Peter, I work with Peter here at the shop,
yeah.
and I told him, I was like, hey, we're going to use your suggestion tonight. And he goes, what are you going to do for the dramatic reading, American Psycho? And I was like I sort of like laughed it off, but
yeah, I don't know.
I don't think of American
no,
Psycho as a bleak or depressing book at all.
Well,
no.
I mean, once again, I was thinking about how there's, obviously bleak and depressing is not a genre.
Right.
But I feel like there's a lot of crossover
mm-hmm.
With like bleak or depressing books and other genres that frequently shows up in.
Mm-hmm.
And horror is one of them. Sci-fi is definitely
you just said,
one of
yeah,
them.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I was thinking about, like, well, what are books that, because I think sometimes when you talk about bleak or depressing, people also get into like disturbing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's where
think
American Psycho falls
yeah.
is like American Psycho is disturbing, but it's like so far off the deep end.
Yeah.
In
it's
terms
almost
of disturbing,
like farcical.
That
it's farcical.
Farcical. Yeah. Like this is not. It's not depressing to me thinking that like there is someone out there
right.
doing this stuff and thinking
that doesn't
these things.
Depress me. Right.
Well, no, but like it's that seems far fetched. At least when like you get down to the nitty gritty of the story itself,
mm-hmm.
like that. You're right. Farcical is a great word for it.
Great word.
Man, you're getting all the points tonight.
Mostly because it sounds like fart-sickle.
Ah, they got a point.
Yay. But.
We do a podcast about books.
We're keeping it on the rails tonight.
But I feel like that book comes up occasionally when you talk about, like, bleak or depressing. And I think I mean, maybe it's just not universal, but I think sometimes people get disturbing kind of lumped in there.
Fair
and
enough.
To me, it's very separate.
Okay.
And that's maybe like a personal preference. Yeah, but it's a separate thing.
I mean, there's probably, I mean, I can't offhand name, you know, a book, different books, but like, I'm sure that there are like films about like, you know, like drug abuse. That's pretty depressing. You know what I mean? There's films about
like
depression.
Watching Trainspotting.
Right.
Yes.
Depressing.
Yes.
Reading Trainspotting. Not so much.
Right.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah.
Because especially since the movie stays so faithful to the book in so many places. But I think what ends up happening is, like, film is a visual medium.
Yeah, you see it.
And bleak is much easier to capture on film than it is in writing.
Yeah. But similarly, like, Requiem for a Dream is really hard to watch as a film.
Yeah.
And is also pretty bleak and depressing to read as a book.
Yeah. Right. I've never seen it or read it.
It's, woo. Woo, boo, 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 boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're, yeah.
As a film.
Is it like What Dreams May Come?
Oh, that's pretty sad, but it's way. It's sad. It's a sad movie.
It's a little heavy handed in its sadness.
It's a little bit heavy-handed.
Well, yeah. So is Requiem for a Dream.
Well, Darren Aronofsky has this way.
It's Darren Aronofsky.
That's why I haven't seen it. Yeah. I get migraines of my own. I don't need to watch somebody else's.
Yeah, basically. But yikes. I mean, I guess, well, now that I'm sort of thinking about specific examples, I guess I can see where people get disturbed. But to me, like, American Psycho is, like, gross disturbing.
It's
like,
visceral.
It's like Chuck Palahniuk disturbing. Like, it's like, ew, gross. That's gross.
Right.
You know, it's not like,
but you don't
that's
go,
disturbing
ugh.
Because people are so strange.
Right, right.
Like,
it doesn't, like,
my
bring
life,
me down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, the one that I was thinking of, my, like, number one example is We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is, like, difficult to read in some places because it's very depressing and it's really, really difficult to read this mother's struggle with like what a monster her son is, and coming to terms with like, does she still love him? Did she ever love him?
Yeah, that's
knowing what he
is.
And it's like, but it is disturbing is a good word for that book because it's like disturbing to think that this could happen, but it's not like gross. You know, it's not like, ew, gross.
I find more psychological things disturbing, like physical, even violence. It doesn't disturb me in a work of, like, fiction. Even a work of nonfiction, it doesn't bother me
actually,
so much.
Actually, now that we've been talking about it, there's a book that I gave up on that, like, everybody loved, The Girl on the Train. I know I brought it up here before.
Yeah.
By Paula Hawkins, that, like, the main character, the narrator, is depressed and is an alcoholic. And, like, she is, you know, again, I put it down. I couldn't keep reading it.
Yeah.
Because, like by the time I've read the third time, her third instance of waking up having soiled herself in her roommate's hallway, I'm like, you know what? I don't really even give a shit where this is going.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, maybe I sort of, like, steer away from this. Particularly, like you said, it's not a genre, but like theme or style.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
I mean, sometimes it can be completely like you said, heavy-handed, and you just get like, okay, you know. But
right.
There are different times in my life, or you know, in the week, even sometimes when I'm like, yeah, I could read that, or I could watch that again.
Yeah.
Right.
But there are other times that I'm like, hell no.
Well,
not.
Sometimes they sneak up on you. Like, Hetzel the Ghost was a good example.
Yeah.
Of, like, this is going to be a horror story. And it starts out, and you're like, this is definitely a horror story. And then by the end, you're like, that was
disturbing.
Intense and disturbing in a way that I did not expect.
Well, right from the beginning, maybe because we had talked about it, but right from the beginning, I was like, okay, I kind of see where this is going.
Yeah.
With the pink chip, I was like, okay,
you
might
have
tainted me.
Sorry.
You know, like, always, like you guys did.
You read the book a month and a half ago when I originally gave it to you. I mean, maybe we wouldn't be in this position. Oh, you got klaxon, son! And Zane can do it!
You're getting there.
I'm working on it. I'm working
there.
On it.
Honing that skill.
Alright, so, now that we're laughing our way through an entire depression conversation.
Well, maybe that's part of it, though.
Well, I think I think that's definitely part of it. I think, you know, it's that thing we were saying earlier, why do we do it? And I think part of the reason that we do it is that we can talk about our shared experience of it and find the common
Absolutely.
We all want to see the monster inside of our minds. Everybody, right. Yeah. If that's horror, if it's whatever you call this, bleak and depressing or whatever, we all want to see it and want to be able, maybe for some people they want to say, okay, I don't need to see that anymore. Or maybe for some people it's like, okay, well, this is normal. Because, I mean, honestly, like, we're animals, right? And we think crazy stuff, and sometimes you have a bad day.
Right, no, definitely.
Like, absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it for me, anyway, is, like, what is it to be a person? And that's part of it,
but
for
then,
better
like,
or worse.
But then, you know, we all, like you said, we all want to see the monster inside ourselves, but then there's something to be said about sharing the experience of knowing the monster inside ourselves with other people that right. also have the monster
yeah.
inside themselves.
I
think living in a, like, if you were just to sit in your, like, in a place by yourself and read nothing but bleak and depressing books, I don't know if it's the same experience as being able to share what
yeah.
you've gotten. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like to talk about books, so it's different for me.
Well, maybe it's just like a social moral.
I was being serious, Zane. Zane's chortling at me.
It made me giggle.
Chortling.
It's a thing.
I know.
I'm sorry, you said it's a social...
Maybe it's, like, a test of, like, to ourselves. Like, okay, do you think this is wacko? Because I think it's... And then you kind of reinforce your social... Your folklore and your social moray and all that you know, pyramid or whatever they call that. I don't know.
Well, it might also be, like, societal warning signs.
Right,
you know,
right.
stuff like that. Like, we do love...
Oh, God, I feel like that all the time.
Yeah, shit like that.
It's like a litmus test for how crazy you are for some people, too, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're crazy because you're a person.
I was going to say, and then you go, you know what? It's okay, I am crazy because we're all fucking crazy.
Yeah, everyone's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead.
Good night, everyone.
Let's take a break on that note, and when we come back, let's do something that's not so depressing on Cracking the Spot.
Welcome back to Cracking the Spine, episode 28. I'm Josh.
I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
Oh, we're not doing the barbershop quartet? We talked about doing the barbershop quartet.
I'll be the bass.
So, hit us up. Let us know about bleak and depressing things. Because I want to know why, seriously, I want to know why other people, like, what are people getting out of it? Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, again, I sort of feel like I'm trying to sound like I don't go in for it.
Yeah, no, I think you do
go in for
it. Yeah, I think I know you well enough to say that.
You maybe don't actively seek those types of books out, but you certainly read bleak and depressing books.
Thanks, guys.
And occasionally enjoy them.
Oh, guys are the best. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No
Anytime.
Problem.
But so if you're, you know, if you've got some suggestions of other things that we can read that would, you know, help us find the monster inside of us.
Yep. Or if you need to be reassured that you do sometimes get depressed, Josh and I are here for you.
Mm-hmm. What? Hey, I'm right here too. Guys, I'm here.
We were just reassuring you.
Look how happy you sounded.
Keep up.
There's no way. Now me on the other hand, yeah.
So yeah, you guys can get at us on the stuff we all mentioned earlier, and stick around afterwards because we're going to do our little dramatic reading.
Facebook.
We haven't done that yet. I mean, we did. We did that already. Is
Twitter.
What I meant. We already did that.
We just haven't recorded it yet.
Zane,
don't
stop
break
the fifth wall.
I broke the tenth wall.
Zane's breaking all the walls. But come on back next week because we'll talk about something else, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It will be. I guarantee
that
it.
That sounds promising.
I've looked into the future.
Confident.
And it's awesome. So we'll be back to talk more next week on Cracking the Spine. Thank you. And now, with tonight's dramatic, bleak, depressing reading. Reading from Dog Heaven, written and illustrated by Cynthia Rylant. Here's Josh. In the arms of the angel, fly away from here.
When dogs go to heaven, they don't need wings, because God knows that dogs love running best.
This
already is sad. He gives them fields. Fields and fields and fields. When a dog first arrives in heaven, he just runs. Dog Heaven has clear, wide lakes filled with geese who honk and flap and tease, so the geese died too. The dogs love this.
That sounds like goose hell.
Yeah, well. Dog Heaven is goose hell.
Spectral geese.
They run beside the water and bark, and God watches them from behind a tree and smiles. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Damn, God, you creepy. There are children, of course. Oh, my God! Angel children? God knows that dogs love children more than anything else in the world. So he, capital H, fills Dog Heaven with plenty of them. There are children on bikes and children on sleds who probably died on bikes and sleds. There are children throwing red rubber balls and children pulling kites through the clouds, died from that. The dogs are there, and the children love them dearly. Oh my God. And oh, the dog biscuits. Biscuits and biscuits as far as the eye can see. God has a sense of humor, so he, capital H, makes his, capital H, biscuits in funny shapes for his, capital H, dogs. There are kitty cat biscuits, because fuck cats. And squirrel biscuits, because they're stupid. Ice cream biscuits? That doesn't make sense. And ham sandwich biscuits? Why wouldn't God just give them ham sandwiches and ice cream? It's Dog Heaven!
And that concludes tonight's dramatic reading of Dog Heaven.
I can't do it.
Comfort.